The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Want to share with you something of a paradigm shift in my own thinking recently, and that is that we were made for God. Okay, that's not the paradigm shift, but we were made for God, and yet we go astray through idolatry, which is praise of something else, or worship, rather, of something other than God. And so I see, or I'm starting to see, that sin is really always an outgrowth of idolatry. It's always an outgrowth of our worshiping something other than God. Now, so take it back to the responsorial psalm. My soul is thirsting for the living God. Every single person alive can say that. Because it's just true. Each and every soul is thirsting for the living God. And we receive the nourishment that we so desperately need, that we thirst for, when we worship God. And when we worship something else, then we're not able to receive from God those living streams. So we're not able to satisfy in any measure that thirst. And so we can think, what are some of the signs then of idolatry? Well, how about being tired or exhausted? Feeling drained? Even in prayer and our practice of the faith. Because again, if we're worshiping God, we're hooked up to streams of living water. Our soul, the thirst of our soul is quenched. So what even in this gospel passage is Jesus attacking? He's attacking an idolatry, is he not? Because if we were to come before God, if these very people, these Pharisees, or whomever was jockeying for position in front of God, if they were to come before God and worship him, then they would be those who took up the lower position, so as to love and serve God and to love and serve the people around them. But instead, there's pride here. So there could be an idolatry of self, where these people have put themselves in the place of God. And some of those things, when you worry, that's oftentimes an idolatry of self. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus commands us to not worry. Because when you worry, what are you saying? You're saying that everything depends on you. So does it, or does it depend on God? Does the whole world depend on you? Even the things that happen to us day by day, and the things that we struggle with day by day, do all those things depend on you, or do those things depend on God? And then we do we trusting in our own strength, to solve problems. We're trusting in our own brilliance. You know, and I'm a brilliant person. I understand what that's like to have the pressure of saving the world on my shoulders. You know, I know what that's like. But do we trust in our own brilliance, our strength, or whatever else we have or are? Or do we trust in God, that this is His plan, and I'm playing my small role in it? I'm playing the role that He wants me to play in it, but it's His plan, it's His story. So I think we're caught up then. We see that it's quite easy to commit to this idolatry of self, this worship and praise of self, and taking up an inordinate position in the plan of God. There are many other idolatries, idols that are competing for our attention and our allegiance. Money, power, sex, and all the rest, the great ones that we've known throughout the course of human history. Do we put them at the center? Are we allowing them to take center stage? Or do we allow God to take center stage? And so Jesus here in this gospel passage is reorienting us to worship and praise of the living God, to take us away from this dependence on self, this self-reliance. And even here, this is about power. This is about who sets the agenda, who's writing the story. And we have these struggles also in our lives. But here, Jesus is showing us what it takes to reorient our lives to the living God, this act of humility. That it's not about seeing ourselves as smaller than anyone else, because that's pride also. It's about seeing ourselves as, say, people who act in God's play. It's about seeing ourselves as people who take up the position that God wants for us. It is an act of humility to come before God and say, whatever you want, whatever you will. And as we make that act over and over again, this act of humility, this act of right worship, to say, you are God and I am not. And we can say that, you are God and I'm not God, but that's okay because you're God. So when we make that act, it's an act of right worship. It properly orients our lives. It attaches us to God, for whom we thirst. And God then pours His love into our hearts. He orients us properly. He gives us direction. He gives us strength to take on the task that He's calling us to take on today. And that's a task always that's animated by His self-gift, His giving love. And so we find that we then are given to the needs of others, no longer focused here in the worship of ourselves, but in the worship of the living God.